I'm Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation, and I invite you, gentle listener, to join us for the best analysis of the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in the business. BGN Radio provides you with the most informative preview shows, and the Kist and Solak show dives deep into all the scheme and X and O details you could ever want. Plus discussions with the industry's brightest minds, including former NFL players, and press conferences from the Eagles coaching staff to keep you up to date and informed every step of the way. Subscribe to Bleeding Green Nation today. Fly, Eagles, fly.
It's out of here! Home run, Lenny Dykstra!
Stairs rips one into the night, deep into right, way out of here.
The Phillies win the game on a base hit by Mitch Williams at 4:40 in the morning.
Swing and a miss, struck him out. It's wacky, wonderful. Bunch of throwbacks has won the National League pennant.
Welcome back to another episode of Continued Success, your favorite midweek Phillies podcast. And folks, I'm assistant editor of The Good Fight, Justin Clue, and with me podcasting into your ear holes is managing editor of The Good Fight, Liz Rocher. Hello, Liz.
Hello, Justin.
Hello. Hello, Liz.
What else? Maybe we just spend the entire time going, hello, hello. Hello. We can avoid talking about everything else.
There's a lot of weight being carried in your voice just there. I think everyone listening knows the burden your every sense is under right now, as far as just about any Phillies fan who watched the game last night, who's been watching games the past 2 weeks, who has been online today. It's just been really messy. I think it's a fair point that we have reached. I think we have reached that point. Like, we keep saying, like, oh, that was bad, this sucks. But the loss last night and the fallout from it has been so dumb, obnoxious, repetitive, predictable. It's just the place where it's the crater you find yourself at after a particular impact has been made. So today, folks, on Continued Success, we typically discuss, you know, our thoughts and feelings about the Phillies, and then move into some lighter stuff on the 2008 Phillies and the 1993 Phillies, since they're both celebrating anniversaries this year. We've been going back and chronicling what they've been up to at the time of this podcast. We may not get to that on this episode. We may spend a lot of time in 2018 just based on the experiences of the last 18 or so hours. I have some notes on John Lannon at the end. If you guys want to, hear some.
Oh,
that,
John Lannon! I think we'll need some comic relief.
But off the bat, I think we're just going to talk about the 2018 Phillies for now, and I think that's fine. I think that's the only thing on people's minds this afternoon. So, Liz and listeners, as you are aware at this point, the Phillies started another series against the Nationals, a team they should be able to beat, and for most of last night we're beating, but we all know what happened. And Liz, you know, what's going to get remembered most about that game is obviously Vince Velasquez failing to tag up correctly on a play that Gabe Kapler said he wasn't even supposed to be tagging up. He was just being aggressive, and a lot, but like, so many components go into that. Why have such an inexperienced base runner pinch running for you in a crucial spot?
Why carry a four-man bench forever?
Why have such a small bench that necessitates using a starting pitcher as a pinch runner in a crucial spot? Why can't Carlos Santana throw the ball? Ugh. Why can't Jorge Alfaro make that throw to third base that led to a run? So, like, a lot of the poor defense narrative went into this. The poor management narrative went into this. The failure to capitalize went into this, certainly. The Phillies chased Max Scherzer from this game after five innings.
That should have been enough.
Herrera,
that should have been enough. Granted, it was only three to nothing, and then it was 3-2, but that should have been enough. It should have been enough.
With Aaron Nola on the mound, and I think maybe that's one of the big reasons this loss is like the loss, capital T, capital L, because Aaron Nola was the stopper. And we've said time and time again, there's a lot of good players on this team. There's only one reliably good player on this team, and that's Aaron Nola. And for him to come out and make have a start like he had last night, and the Phillies knock Max Scherzer out by the fifth inning, that sounds like a win, and it should have been a win. Odubel Herrera hits an absolute moonshot off Max Scherzer and continues his ownership of one of the nastiest pitchers in the National League and a Cy Young contender. Jorge Alfaro hits a ball to Fishtown in an absolute monster home run. That gave the Phillies a 3-0 lead. And like we just said, that feels like really should have been enough. But unfortunately, these games have continued after the Phillies have scored, and they couldn't score again. The defense gave out on them. Gabe Kapler's decision-making didn't pay off. The decision to have such a small bench didn't pay off. And honestly, it's kind of the perfect loss, Liz. I said perfect after the immediate loss last night. And I've come to think it is the perfect loss for the 2018 Phillies. What do you think?
I mean, it really had everything. It had everything. And everything, it's exactly what you said. Bullpen, defense, you know, offense. It had every single thing that's been plaguing the Phillies this year. And I was stupid enough to think, you know, God, it's Aaron Nola on the mound. He'll go like 7 innings. The bullpen will only have to handle it for 2. They can do that. I'm like, this scene I looked at and like, this feels like a win. I can feel good about this. And it was the 7th inning. And that was a mistake. that was the biggest mistake I've made in a while. Oh, it was just, it's so painful. It's so painful to think about and frustrating. And I mean, and this one, I mean, this sits on a lot of things. It sits on the front office for constructing a team that can't field a ball to save its life sometimes. But it's mostly at the moment on Gabe Kapler for the reliever usage. I don't understand why Tommy Hunter had to go back out. I don't understand why Hector Neris had been warming and then sat down, you know, and then why Pat Neshek had been warming and then sat down because he wasn't going out to start the inning. I don't understand why he wants to use relievers that way. I get using Sir Anthony Dominguez for 2 innings when that's what he was doing. I don't get this. Why make a reliever start another inning? It doesn't seem like there's any real reason. They're going to say matchups. It's not matchups. Pat Neshek gets everybody out for the most part, except for that friggin' home run he allowed last night. Oh, mm-hmm. But that would have been just a game tying. It would have just been a game tying home run, right? Or was that the game tying home run? No, they would have been. I'm trying to remember because there was a runner on base at that point. It had been who Tommy Hunter had put on. And they took Hunter out and put Neshek in, and then came the home run, which I think tied the game.
Oh, and don't forget, in a really, Jose Bautista made a cameo appearance, striking out in about 20 seconds. Which, look, I mean, you know,
that's who they paid for. That's who they paid almost nothing
just
for.
Just one at bat, yes. But just in the context of this game, which we're saying is the perfect loss because it just encompassed so much that is wrong about the Phillies that have also managed to be right a bunch of times this season, that was also kind of perfect. That like, oh, we made another acquisition because another chief complaint is that the Phillies didn't do enough to fix the problems they have. And I mean, I'd say that's true. Part of that is in hindsight, obviously. A guy like Asdrubal Cabrera, who's hitting like 270 something for the Mets, comes here and hits 211. I mean, you're not making that trade because you think, hey, maybe his batting average will drop 60 points when he gets here. That'd be really helpful. You're making that trade because you're assuming he's going to be the same player he is on the other team, and he just hasn't been. And he made a great play at third base last night, but again, he's not a solid fit for most of the infield positions he's being asked to play. And as far as like acquisitions go, it's been, I think they went about that the way a team that is rebuilding while contending would go about it. You know, it's just sort of this halfway sort of like, you know, the Machado sweepstakes. That was a questionable decision from the get-go. But at the end of the day, the Phillies finished in third place in those sweepstakes behind the Brewers. So they obviously didn't try extremely hard to get like the biggest name on the market, which is something a contending team would do. The Phillies were in this strange place where they're rebuilding and contending by accident.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Well, that's good. My name is Bill Matz. I am the director of Fun and Games for Broad Street Hockey Radio Podcasts.
And I am Kelly, the deputy managing editor of BroadStreetHockey.com.
I'm Steph Driver, the NHL editorial manager for SB Nation.
And I am Charlie O'Connor, lead Flyers writer for TheAthletic.com.
And together we make up BSH Radio, one of the shows that you get at the SB Nation podcast family. We have a lot coming to you this year, and we want you to listen to our show. It is just an all flyers, all the time show. So much content. I really hope you listen to it. It is a great piece of the SB Nation podcast family, along with all your other favorite sports.
We all love hockey, specifically the Flyers.
Let's go the Flyers.
The hockey team, the Flyers.